It's time for Intersections, where art and science meet, your weekly hour of conversation, where you learn about curious ideas, creative works, and interesting phenomena with your host, Mark Kiesling, the founder of the Da Vinci Pursuit, and Krista Hoffman-Longton, Assistant Dean for Faculty Affairs and Professional Development at the Indiana University School of Medicine. Now, it's time for Intersections, where art and science meet.
I'm Mark Kiesling, the founder of the Da Vinci Pursuit, where we create a museum without walls so artists, scientists, and the community can come together to create unique interactions and conversations. In today's conversations, we're going to be talking about the White River Vision Plan, its impact on Hamilton County Parks, tourism, and the new Conner Prairie White River Education and Ecology Center. And I'm excited to have with me two really wonderful individuals, Michael is it Klitzing? Did I get that right? Good. Who's the director of the parks and recreation, as well as CEO in Carmel Clike Parks and Rec. And welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
And I have Norman Burns, the president and CEO of Conner Prairie. Welcome, Norman.
Thank you, Mark.
So we've all come together because the White River Vision Plan has extended itself between Marion and Hamilton counties. And it's a very exciting opportunity for all of us. And I know both of you are heavily involved in what might be possible along the White River. Either one of you want to start out and give us a little description of your involvement with that?
Sure. Well, for me, it kind of goes back to the impetus and founding of Carmel Clike Parks and Recreation in 1991. One of the things that we were established to do is, and the groundswell for establishing us was preserving open space. And of course, natural areas along the river fit right into that. But one of our goals was really to develop a greenway that goes from our southern border to our northern border, 96th Street to 146th Street, predominantly along the river. So the river has sort of been a focus of ours, but, you know, it really hadn't made much progress during much of our history. We've created, in conjunction with Hamilton County Parks and Recreation, about 2.5 miles of a White River greenway, starting at their River Road Park and going north there onto our property. But, you know, there wasn't as much development going on or focus, I think efforts, but not any success in broadening that scope. I know Conner Prairie was working on their site master plan, and I was fortunate to be invited and participate in that input. We were working on developing our new Comprehensive Parks and Recreation Master Plan, which we do every 5 years. And around that exact same time, the White River Vision Plan was coming on board. And it was right before I was hired as director, but I knew I was going to be becoming director. So that portfolio was assigned to me. And it really was kind of universes aligning at the perfect time. And, you know, understanding what Norman and Conner Prairie were thinking with their extensive holdings along the river, you know, our long-term vision of protecting the river and providing opportunities for the public to interact with it in varying levels. And then, of course, the White River Vision Plan and that regional focus of recognizing that, you know, our most significant natural resource in Indianapolis and the metropolitan area is the White River. And how do we be better stewards of it in all aspects of it? It was pretty exciting to align all at once. And, you know, it was through that Norman and I really were able to better understand how we fit better together and how we had many shared goals that together we could much more quickly and probably effectively accomplish than working independently. So that kind of brought us together, and I'll let Norman go from there.
Okay. Norman?
Thank you, Michael. Mark, you know, this is literally my 6-year anniversary being in Hamilton County and being the president and CEO at Conner Prairie. Seems like I just arrived yesterday. In some ways, it feels like I've been here all my life because it's such a remarkable place to live. And that's really what attracted me. Conner Prairie being a national museum, its reputation, I knew that it was an opportunity for me to serve in that capacity. But I really looked at the community and saw how it was beginning to face issues, beginning to look at how it was going to build itself out. And I knew there was an opportunity for Conner Prairie to be involved with that. We had to do a site survey. We didn't have literally a site survey of all of our holdings. We had done surveys and kind of new boundary lines. But when most people think of Conner Prairie, they think of arriving off of Allisonville Road and coming in and think of Prairie Town and Symphony on the Prairie and those types of things. And that's probably what they think of Conner Prairie. They wouldn't realize that we have 1,046 acres of land and 3.3 miles of the White River running right through the middle of it. And that's over 6 miles of shoreline on both sides. And that's the part that people, I think, didn't understand, including our board and donors, that most visitors, when they came to Conner Prairie, they weren't even aware the White River was on our property, much less that we had property on both sides of the White River, because all of our programming had been done on this side. So that's what led us into creating a comprehensive site master plan to say, all right, if we have 1,046 acres of land and 3.3 miles of the White River, and we know that there's going to be an emphasis region-wide on developing the White River, what does that look like for us? How do we need to plan that out? What partners do we need to bring to the table? And so we had the good fortune, or I had the good fortune, just like Michael, to get involved in the very first steps of the White River Vision Plan. And that's where we first met. I mean, I knew of him and what he was doing with parks, and he probably knew of me, but we hadn't really worked together at that point. And there was just an aha moment when we realized, you know, we wanted, Conner Prairie wanted to make our resources available. We have a lot of land and a lot of river. How do we connect? How do we no longer be a barrier between sides? And looking at Michael's plan and seeing the White River Greenway and knowing that he wanted to do a nature center, or at least a classroom, and knew that we were positioning ourselves to say, hey, we've got a remarkable part of our property that could serve as an education and ecology center for the White River. And that's really what started aligning us. And we started looking at our plans. We started working on it together. And that's really where Conner Prairie is today. We are committed to saying we have these resources. And as a private landholder, and we are still the largest private landholder of land that's kind of undeveloped on the White River and Hamblin County, that's not a big farm, I guess you could say. But right. but we needed to control what that looked like. Because the communities were encroaching around us. We needed to know how we could work with Carmel Clay Parks to make this not only work for Conner Prairie, but to work for the citizens that want to access both Carmel Clay Parks and Conner Prairie. And Michael and I very quickly understood that we both had the same goals there. We both have the same heart as it relates to environmental education and protecting the environment, what we want to do with the land, water, and even the energy that's produced by subterranean and above ground waters, and what that means to our community. So that's kind of the like-mindedness that we had and led us into as we got into the larger White River Vision Plan that's at 58-mile stretch from Hamblin County down into Marion County to say, what part do we have? And just Conner Prairie alone, our part is 6% of that 58 miles. And Carmel Clay is equal or a little more stretched out, I think. So if you think about that, that's a nice section. And you throw Hamblin County Park in there, and that 116th Street to 146th Street. And that's what we're referring to as kind of the South River District right now, as an early developmental stage of the Hamblin County part of the White River Vision Plan.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting that you're both saying, one of the things is that people think about rivers as roads at like they're linear. However, when we think about how did you get that many miles? Well, you get it because that thing, particularly the White River, bends all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so as it goes in and out of different counties, it goes in and out of different places. But I also think it's interesting, both given both your perspectives, but particularly Norman, that for so long, it was the reason that the Conner Prairie, the actual Conner home was there. I mean, Carmel was there because there was a waterway. It's so interesting how we historically seem to have disconnected ourselves from that idea that water was essential.
That's correct. I mean, in the case of Conner Prairie, you're exactly right. That's why William and John Conner arrived here in 1801. It's why we had different first people that were in here, many of them forcibly removed to this area, including the Delaware that were known as Lenape, that arrived in 1795. But because William and John knew the language and dialects, they knew that they could be successful trading furs and eventually in business. And that's why they arrived in 1801. It's because of the river. The river is what was a place that these first people said, here's a place that we can survive. The people that began to arrive, like the Connors and others after them, realized that the river is what made the ground fertile. And all farmers through the centuries and the eons have understood that if you're going to be a gatherer early on, you need to be close to a river, because it was a place that you could, that you knew that you had rich bottom soils. And so why is Indiana such a wonderful farm belt? We have really good water systems here that have really helped. Yes, they flood, but they also provide subsistence for the land.
Right, and that flooding is actually part of the chemistry of why. And so that's pretty exciting. Michael, I know up in the idea of, it's very similar in your area as it was here in Marion County, the idea of turning our backs to the river. We kind of did that historically, probably around industrialization or so.
Absolutely. I mean, and certainly not unique to Indianapolis and this area. I mean, almost every place that had a river turned their back to it. It became a place that you dumped things into and was something that was not viewed as an asset. But I mean, Mark, you and I were talking a little bit before we came on about the Fishkill that transpired. I forget the exact year that happened.
It was the 90s, I believe.
Yeah, before I moved to the state. But I mean, that's really what brought a lot of attention back to the river, and the recognition of what we're doing to the river, and what we were doing to the river was not particularly good as collectively as a society. And it's great to see that we're understanding the impact that rivers have had on us, and will continue to have on us. I mean, all you have to think about is going out to the West Coast and the Colorado River, and how, you know, one, how vital that is to so much of the population within the United States, and how, you know, we're literally using it as a country to death. And, you know, to make sure that we're not doing the same things here in Indiana. I mean, ultimately, we're in a better situation as far as the availability of water, but are we always going to be in that situation? So how do we be good stewards now to protect it for the future as well?
So I like what both of you are saying, that your roles are, and that it truly is embedded in you, your missions, which is the educational part. So there is the recreation element. We'll get into that and talk about that. But first and foremost, you've got to deal with the environmental impact of all this, getting people to understand it's even there, as you said, Norman. It's amazing how many people don't know how much water we actually have here. We're really blessed in central Indiana. It also was a problem in the past at times with flooding, but we do have an abundance of water. It's an amazing area.
We do, and we only think about, because it's visible, we think about what's above ground with the rivers and the reservoirs that we have, but they don't realize the aquifers is underneath us. And that's the part that, whether you're talking about groundwater as it is with us physically, or we're talking about, you know, groundwater is one of those terms used in as we're talking about racial injustice and those things, but it's true. I mean, we have to protect both of those things. And in this case, the groundwater, we're contributing to a lot of things. So runoff that eventually gets down into the groundwater and eventually evaporates back up. So it's an interesting, and that's part of the education. I will tell you that the White River Education Ecology Center, our food, farm, and energy experience on the west side, that's what it's going to focus on. It's going to focus on the land, the water, and the energy, and making folks aware of why we have to sustain the land, why we have to sustain the water, why it's so important for us to take care of it, because we got a lot of people are going to be on this planet already here, but by mid-century, it could be close to 10 billion people. The water's got to be good. Who's going to feed them? Who's going to grow those crops? Less than 1% of the population will probably be growing crops by then. So those are all things that we have to focus on, but educate the public, educate the children and the parents. And if we can do that, then hopefully the half century that follows that will be a little more progressive.
I think that education thing is, and I don't want to say education thing, but the educational component is what was really exciting for Carmel Clay Parks and Recreation as well is, obviously the more that we can educate the public and educate youth especially, it better positions us for the future. And certainly I think each younger generation is developing a stronger and stronger ethic as far as the importance of environmental stewardship. And one of the things that has always amazed me about the Carmel community, every 5 years at least, we're doing a pretty comprehensive survey of our residents. And we are blessed to have tremendous support for Parks and Recreation in Carmel. And one of the things that our public has consistently told us they want is more environmental education, and they'd like to see a nature center in Carmel. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've always strived to do with Carmel Clay Parks and Recreation, I mean, we're a relatively young park system. We're 30 years old. I mean, Noblesville and Indianapolis have had their parks for much, much longer. And we've always strived to provide and serve the underserved needs within the community. And we look at our community, obviously, we're here to serve the residents of Carmel Clay Township, but we're also here to serve the broader community. And when we look just outside our borders, Hamilton County Parks at Quill Creek Park has a phenomenal nature center. Indy Parks has a great facility down at Holiday Park. And our residents in Carmel have been using those for quite some time. And we felt that up to this point, the types of facility where we could help promote this education would be substantially similar to what those two incredible organizations already provide. But it was through, the White River Vision Plan and our joint planning efforts that Norman and I were able to identify that, hey, this river ecology or education and ecology center is exactly that missing link that we have not only within Carmel, but within the greater community and where we can find that niche to really help further enhance the understanding of the river as well as the greater resources that are combined with it.
Yeah, I think it's a great pairing of Connor Prairie is known for history, but this is a great pairing once again of how we believe that history is best when it's integrated with science and technology and engineering and art and math. And that's what really can inspire curiosity in children and adults to learn more. So by us pairing our desire to see the history of the White River toad, how it's developed through time all the way to the future, and pairing that with Carmel Clay Parks and others that want to look at the ecology and the science behind that, we have an opportunity to create a White River Education Ecology Center that's going to be tremendous and kind of an anchor, if you will, for the larger White River Vision Plan. So it's not trying to be repetitive of things that's being there, it's trying to be complementary and actually overarching in the way of telling the whole story of the White River and education. And that's why, and I'll let Michael speak to the citizens' classroom and some of the elements that he's wanting as part of the White River Education building and the exhibits that we want to put into this building that's really going to inform the citizens.
Absolutely. One of the things that's really demonstrates the level of commitment that our community has on environmental stewardship is the level and breadth of citizen science we have helping our park system. I mean, for many years, Carmel Clay Parks and Recreation was the entity within Carmel that helped provide a lot of the special events. We do kids concerts, we do movies in the parks, which became extremely difficult with the summer hours now being late, I mean, light almost until 10 p.m. That kind of killed a lot of movies in the parks for the smaller kids, especially. But, what we found is as other entities within the community were providing those events, we started focusing more and more on the natural resources of the parks. And I mean, we're fortunate that over 80% of our park holdings, which now almost 640 acres, are maintained in a natural state. And to help us manage that more effectively, we need to rely on volunteers to help us do cleanups and removal of invasive species. And what we also found is that they want to help us manage it beyond just those cleanup days, those typical things. So that has developed into a more robust and continuing to grow citizen science program, where they're helping us do bioblitzes, so we understand the biodiversity that's within the park, so that as we develop and implement our management plans, our natural resource management plans for each park or property, you know, we can measure and better understand the impact our management plans are having. Are we making a difference? Are we making things better? Are we making things worse? And if so, what adjustments either way are required? But it's the citizen science that have really embraced and I think taken our park system to a new level. And the River Education and Ecology Center, one of the spaces that we envision for that is a citizen science lab or classroom, where we actually have a home base and can even more so focus that citizen science research along that river corridor. I mean, with Connaught Prairie's properties, with our holdings, with the county's holdings, with the city of Carmel's holdings that have put a proposal to bring into the park system. You know, we have a tremendous asset there, and there's so much to learn, and using that education center to use the citizens to help develop and gather the science, but also further help teach the science as well, is pretty exciting. And I think something that will make the Education and Ecology Center a true beacon for the area, and hopefully a model for other communities throughout the country to follow.
I agree with both of you. And I think one of the things you're talking about that comes so essential is, you know, the water, the animal life, the plant life. They know no political or county boundaries or city boundaries. And what we're trying to do, I think, within the vision plan is to say people shouldn't have those boundaries either. And so, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we had a connected way for somebody from Indianapolis, from somewhere along the White River, to come to Connaught Prairie without having to drive there? I mean, those are all same way utilizing... thinking of parks as regional, not just for the citizens of Carmel, but all that. I think this vision plan gives us a little foothold into, don't you think, into that?
Absolutely. I think that's, you're dead on with that assessment. And, you know, to the degree that we can create a greenway network that is predominantly along the river so that people to our north and south can come here and enjoy that and witness that space and experience the way the river looks and different parts along the stretch are completely different. Some places it's very urbanized, places like Broad Ripple, you know, we're very blessed, you know, even though both Fishers and Carmel are exploding, the amount of green space that's along the river within our stretch. You know, Connaught Prairie having its holdings there certainly has made that possible. But even up and down the river, it's very natural. And when you're next to it, you don't feel like you're in the middle of a major metropolitan area. But the ability to bring people not only to the river, but up and down the river and to the various resources that exist, I think is part of the power of that vision and thinking regionally. And you know, we're all Hoosiers, we're all Americans, we're all, you know, here to and you know, to the degree that we're creating this welcoming attraction for everyone, that's exactly what we should be doing.
But yeah, Mark, I think your idea of the connectivity is extremely important. One of the things that we talk about in the vision plan, and Michael and I are always mentioning this, is once we do this, once we can connect the counties, and there's actually 9 counties, you know, within the White River. So this vision plan is just for Hamblin County, Marion County. But think about the connectivity of all of that eventually, and what that would represent. We would have the equivalent of a national park, one of the largest and best national park systems, and it'd all be local because we've all worked together and we've connected the river. And so I think the river and the adjacent lands and how we approach them is extremely important. So I, once again, this White River Vision Plan, I was so happy that when I arrived, they were talking about it, and I thought Connaught Prairie was probably behind the process, and we jumped right into our master planning. Thankfully, it's worked out for us where we've been a major player in discussing it and offering things up, and it's just the first step. I mean, we're still talking about developing these first projects, and you know, this is decades and maybe a half century of work that have to be done to bring all of these counties together, you know, for that to happen. But we can be hopeful that that we can break down those barriers that you're talking about between the geographic lines, like the mating pair of American bald eagles that's above us at 146th Street. They come down and fish on our part of the White River, but they're on the other side of our property. You know, that to your point, whether it's whatever type of animal or amphibian or whatever the case might be, they don't see these boundaries. They just know that it's part of the environment that they live in. And hopefully we can embrace that as well and realize that we all live in the same environment. What we do upstream affects downstream and vice versa.
Yeah, and I do love the, you know, the whole aspect of people as citizens working to help with science, where we have a lot of holes. We can't pay for everything that we need, but we can have citizens doing that. But also brings the citizens together around our assets. And that probably regionally is the most important thing, as you were saying, Norman, that long-term we can do. I've been talking with Michael Klitzing and Norman Burns about how museums, tourism, the White River Vision Plan can all connect us together through environmental and education, and we'll be back right after this.
No alarm clock. No traffic to negotiate. No staff meetings to attend. Sunday is your day, so do yourself a favor, tune out all that noise, and tune in for Sunday Baroque.
Sunday morning from 5 to 9 here on 88.7 WICR.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Kiesling. Today we're having a conversation about the White River Vision Plan, particularly how it affects Carmel Clay Parks and Recreation and Conner Prairie with their new vision for how they want to integrate the White River. And I'm talking to both Michael and Norman. And I think what's really powerful is two things. You all already have some assets in place. And the second one is that you have been able to do the Holy Grail, which is connect public and private partnership. Talk to me a little bit about how that plays out, why it's successful. What have you done that a lot of places haven't been able to do?
Well, Michael, let me jump in there first, because when you talk about having assets on the ground, on our west side, we have actually a little more acreage on the west side of the White River than we have on the east side, but we don't really have a presence. As everyone knows, we lease the land for farming. We also lease the land for a golf course. Prairie View Golf Course is actually, the land is owned by Conner Prairie, but we lease the land, so we don't operate the business. That's totally separate. But that being said, Michael has assets that are right there on the river. As a matter of fact, the White River Greenway butts up right against Conner Prairie's private property, and it just stopped there. And so when I first arrived and looking at that, and that's the conversations that Michael and I had, so what would that mean? And initially, when we were doing our master planning, we were like, well, we don't really want a public trail on our private land, because if we're going to do ticketed, because we're an earned income site, so if we're going to ticket anything, how would we control that? And so originally we were trying to push the trail up to River Road and run adjacent to us. But the more we talked about how this could be the White River Education Ecology Center and that trail could come together, and how dynamic and beautiful that part of the White River is, we didn't want to waste an opportunity to say, here's an opportunity for this public-private partnership that we had in our plan. And once again, we said this in the earlier segment about how we came together and realized we had a lot of the same goals. But that's what created the process, is that Carmel Clay Parks already had an asset that was bumping up against private property, and we were going to be a barrier to that. And so we wanted to open that up, and that's really what led to this. So I'll let Michael talk about how we continue to evolve that.
Absolutely. So as we got a better understanding of Conner Prairie's vision for the property and the recognition that there is a way for them to accomplish the ticketed elements that they need, but also find a way that we can bring more of the public along the river, across a good portion of their property. We just continued to work together and mesh our plans together. And I think Conner Prairie recognized the value of bringing some of the public. It brings more exposure to some of the great amenities that they envisioned for their property and didn't detract from their broader goals. It also provided, obviously, that access to the river that we were striving for, the ability to have that scenic walk in one of the most beautiful stretches of the river in the county. And you know, Norman earlier was talking about the mating eagles. I mean, it's amazing how much wildlife you can see when you're walking that section, and to allow more of the public to experience that in the appropriate settings is just really exciting. And quite frankly, without Conner Prairie's embracing of that idea, it simply wouldn't be possible. It would just be another perimeter trail along River Road, which has value. I don't want to take away anything from that, but to have it next to the river is really what's going to make it powerful and a place that the public really enjoys going to. But you know, the more we kept those conversations going, the more we also saw more synergies in the river ecology or education and ecology center, and anchoring that as part of the trail, so that we're bringing the public right into this new envisioned facility, and which will only increase the volume of traffic, the volume of users, the amount of exposure that we have to it, which also then furthers the exposure to all the other amenities and assets that Conner Prairie will be bringing to the table. So I think it's a true win-win. And then it also allows us to leverage some of the funding mechanisms that we have as a public entity, whether it's our park impact fees, which we currently can use along the White River Corridor, whether it's some of our other funding assets, whether it's our ability to go after different grants. All those things help make this a reality sooner than if Conner Prairie was just trying to raise the funds independently.
And we continue to raise private funds, but to Michael's point, because they are on the public side, it's much harder for a nonprofit and a private organization sometimes have access to certain type of governmental grants. But with this public-private partnership and what Michael has in his plan, and to be able to lay those over each other, he's able to actually go after and position for those types of grants with Conner Prairie as a partner. Whereas if we were doing it, it would be nearly impossible. So that's really the benefit of we both have a role in this partnership that really complements each other extremely well.
Yeah, and you also have a regulatory crossover, which is really great, because while you're on private land, the river is not, the river is state. And so you end up with, and national as well. So what's nice, I think, Michael, is you can leverage the political aspects of that that you need to with IDEM and others. And go ahead with that.
That's very true. And it's something that we already do on a frequent basis with DNR and with environmental management, IDEM, and the Army Corps, as well as the local regulators. I mean, the city and sometimes the county too, with the surveyor, if there's legal drains that are going across the property. So we already have those relationships and are working with them on a regular basis. I mean, we've got a project at River Heritage Park, which is near 116th Street along the river, that we're working through now. And pretty much every parkland that we have, whether or not it touches the river, usually if it's a park, it means that it wasn't easy to develop for commercial purposes or residential purposes. So there's usually a creek or a wetland or you know, poor soils or, you know, all of the above.
Usually something in the way of a developer on that.
Exactly, yeah. Which is perfect. It creates that natural beauty that we're looking for from a park, but it does mean that we're frequently working with the regulators. So, and have good relationships, because we're all working towards the same thing, you know, preserving nature, improving the environment. And I think that does help. And we have a demonstrated history at Carmel Clay Parks and Recreation of really striving for that environmental stewardship, which I think allows them to look at our projects with the lens, knowing that everything we're trying to do is for the better, not to create issues.
Yeah, and I know from Norman's perspective, as being running a private institution like Living History Museum, you do have to deal with a lot of the regulations, but that's not something we're used to doing. As being a museum educator myself, I know that we have to do it, but it's not generally we're used to being able to build an exhibit on our land the way we want to do it. You're on a public right-of-way, and so it makes it a little different.
Well, in our case, you know, we have regulations that are related to Fishers. We have regulations that are related to Carmel. We have regulations that are related to Hamblin County because we're part of their flood control system. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has a role. Eli Lilly actually put up earthen berms on both the east side and west side that control flooding back in the 1940s for what then was known as Conner Prairie Farm. Most people, when they think of Conner Prairie, they don't realize that really for 3.5 decades, it was really a farming place. And the little village was just this little side thing that Eli Lilly had. And it was really only towards the end of his life that Prairie Town kind of took on a role of its own in the mid-1970s before his death. And that kind of took over and the Conner Prairie Farm went away. But my point is that while the earthen berms are not regulated by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, they're now part of the flood system. And so we can't do things to them or with them without going through the regulatory process. Just like now with the development on the west side, I mean, we have to work with Carmel, with the city of Carmel and the zoning and looking at the things that that we want to do on that side that we haven't done before because we hadn't developed anything on that side. So you're exactly right. But I will say the interesting part of what we can do as a private organization and a private landholder is as it relates to these governmental things that we've been talking about, is that we can be the public facing part of that. So we can work with a park system, with a governmental agency, IDEM and agriculture and all these things and say, here are the things that are happening and educate the public about it. Because a lot of people just always point, I'm going to use agriculture for example, people always point at agriculture first as being the largest contributor of phosphates and all these things are going in the land. And yes, that happens. But they don't think about the parking lots and the water management that relates to that and the highways. They don't think about the neighborhoods because Norman Burns, a private citizen, can take 10 bags of fertilizer and put it on my lawn because I want it to be green, and 9.5 bags of it will go right into the stormwater system and out to the White River and eventually down to the Gulf of Mexico. The same way with golf courses, Michael, sorry about this, but public parks, I mean, we're all contributors to that. And for us to be able to have a place where we can come together and say, this is why we all have to address this. It's not just agriculture. It's not just this. It's private citizens. It's all of us that need to contribute to that. And I think that's a big part of what Conner Prairie's role is in this environmental stewardship is to be this public-facing area and to be able to partner with Carmel Clay, with their citizens on education and such, I think is going to be extremely impactful.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I look at what you guys do, Norman, what the asset you have as being a premier living history place, you know, with interpretation, Michael, I can see Conner Prairie providing all the way up and down the river, not just where you are, but interpretive education for the people that are going to be out there working as volunteers and others. This is just a tremendous opportunity.
I mean, for a park system to be able to work with an institution like Conner Prairie that is nationally renowned, the Smithsonian affiliate, I mean, that's really powerful. And it allows us to tap into their tremendous knowledge and skills to further enhance what we're doing for the residents and for the visitors to Carmel. So that's what a partner a public-private partnership is all about, is really building off the strengths of both organizations to do something that together or individually we would not be able to do. So it really is exciting, and I have enjoyed developing and growing a tremendous relationship with Norman and his incredible team at Conner Prairie.
Right, I also love in the vision plan, the idea, really what I see in there is this kind of idea of nodes, And then there are connectors between, another where it stays natural. There might be a trail, but and I'm not meaning to ding Cincinnati on this. I know what they did, but I'm not happy with what they did along the river on the Ohio. Some of you have been down there. And it's a lot of turf grass that goes down, a lot of swings and at play areas. But what they forgot about was, you know, that was important that they left a corridor for wildlife and animals. And the White River Vision Plan looks at that and it says, well, wait a minute, Conner Prairie, you're not going to get to clear all the land, you know, down, which you wouldn't anyway. Or to make a park, it doesn't always mean turf grass to be a park, right? And so I think that's part of the public education as well and why this plan is so powerful.
So Mark, you've hit on something important about this connectivity and the nodes. I mean, we have a lot of space that obviously cannot be used for trail, but we have a lot of shoreline that we have to stabilize, and educating the public about why that has to be stabilized and what that means to protecting the water quality in the river. I mean, just our, you know, over 3 miles of linear river that runs through it, it has a lot of force behind it, and it removes a lot of land. A lot of land above us is deposited on us. So a lot of people don't realize the hydraulics of a river and what it can do and why you have to stabilize shoreline, because you don't want more of it eroding. And so in this age of global warming and the rising and lowering of rivers and seas and all those things, we have to be more mindful of that.
That's really great. We've been talking about the White River Vision Plan with Michael Klitzing and also with Norman Burns. And I just wanted to remind our listeners that the Da Vinci Pursuit brings together artists and scientists, members of the community, to engage in conversations like we're having today that explore the intersection between art and science. And we encourage you to have these conversations at your own home or around your dinner table, wherever it makes sense, because the education is really important. And we'll be right back.
Hello, Indiana. This is Dr. Laura Merrifield Wilson, host of Positively Politics. I'd like to invite you to join our conversation on the current issues and events in politics with the experts who know them best. Every Saturday morning here on WICR at 11:30, we break down the sometimes negative and often complicated world of politics in a nonpartisan, straightforward, and educationally rooted way. You won't want to miss the discussion on Positively Politics Saturday morning at 11:30 right here on The Diamond.
Welcome back. We're having a conversation about Conner Prairie's new facility and also what the plans are for Carmel Clay. But I wanted to kind of just, when we were chatting on the break a little bit, it was important that it's really wonderful how both of your institutions have been able to transcend really what becomes a very contentious right now. And I don't think anybody would doubt that we have a contentious political environment everywhere. And you're able to get beyond that because you guys can have conversations. You can have conversations with your residents. You can have people having input. And this whole plan didn't develop out of some bigger vision over the top at a governmental level. This whole vision came out of private and public institutions coming together with that. And so that segues into, you can talk about that, but also segues into then what are the specific kinds of plans that you're thinking about?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I think what you just stated there too, and the key is listening to the public and hearing and letting it percolate from our residents and from the community as to what they want to see as part of this vision. And it's very much integrated within the White River Vision Plan. Is very much integrated within our comprehensive master plan for parks and recreation in Carmel too. And I think that's the strength of when you're listening to what the public wants, it gives you so much more power to be able to ultimately implement because you already have their buy-in. You're doing what they want you to do. What's exciting also for this particular project, and I'm going to hone in a little bit on the Hamilton County South River District, which is just one of those nodes within the Greater White River Vision Plan. We realized that within Carmel and with Conner Prairie's assets, Hamilton County's assets, and our assets, that we already had a string of pearls right along the White River from 146th Street with Conner Prairie's property, the White River Greenway that is Carmel Clay's that connects into River Road Park, And then just to the south of that, our River Heritage Park, which is just north of 116th Street. So that kind of became the boundary for our initial vision for the South River District. Ultimately, we want to extend it all the way down to 96th Street as well, but we already have those pearls in place. And as we were actually in the process of working not only with Hamilton County Parks and Recreation, but Hamilton County Tourism as well, we were very fortunate and received the 63-acre donation for what is now Thomas Marcuselli Nature Park. We're in the planning stages for that. But what we're looking to do is we have all of these assets already in place in varying degrees of development or preservation. And how can we work collectively, not just Conner Prairie and Carmel Clay Parks, but those other partners as well, so that collectively we're building upon each other, creating this educational node, this tourism node, this recreational node that is complementing each other as opposed to competing with each other, which is also really the vision for the greater White River Vision Plan too. But here we have this little microcosm of it that we can work with. So starting to the south, we have River Heritage Park, which is a 40-acre park actually owned by Citizens Energy Group, but leased by Carmel Clay Parks and Recreation. It was our first park within the park system that had a focus on serving people with disabilities. It was one of the earliest ADA accessible parks within the state of Indiana, if not the first. And we wanted to build upon that, that legacy within the park, but only about a third of the 40 acres is developed, and it's on the front end closest to River Road Park. And we have all this developing woods that, if you look back 40 years ago, was pretty much no woods. But has grown over the years, that goes back to the river, the name for River Heritage Park. And what we're creating there is a roughly 1.5 mile fully accessible nature trail so that people with disabilities can actually get all the way to the river, experience it in a way similar to those that are walking on a soft surface trail do too, and experience the river and the wildlife and the nature in a way, looking for interpretation, looking for maybe a couple play nodes along the way as well for like a zip line and other things, but celebrating that and especially that accessible component with the history of the park. Ultimately connecting that with the White River Greenway to River Road Park, and there's visions for enhancing that park, softening the edges up a little bit, making it even a more special place for nature play and interpretation, continuing the Greenway north to Conner Prairie, and I won't steal Norman's thunder, so I'll let him talk about that. And then also connecting it just across the River Road to Thomas Marcuselli Nature Park, which is also just south of 146th Street, which actually is kind of bringing the Conner Prairie Farm back into the fold. It was part of Eli Lilly's farm, and we're bringing it back and preserving it. It'll be a beautiful nature park. It's in the area that it can't support major development of facilities and stuff, but it can provide, you know, wetlands and forestry and appropriate prairies within it so that the public is experiencing it. And we're working with Carmel Utilities on that one too. There's actually gonna be two wellheads within that park, and we're creating in partnership with utilities, the overlooks that will be kind of the trailheads for that trail network there, but will become iconic signatures where people can get a beautiful overlook of the naturalized area. And then that sort of seems like a perfect launch off to Norman and the incredible vision for his property.
Well, I mean, that's a fine example of how this continues to evolve, because Thomas Marcuselli wasn't on anyone's radar, say, a year and a half ago. But now, because this has happened, we're able to look at how that side of the property can be developed and the look of that. And since we are partnering on this other thing, as well as our own private things on the west side, make it feel like, well, it's different, it's the same, if you get my drift. And that doesn't normally happen when you think about whether it's architecture or the way the landscape is done. Thematically, you wouldn't normally do that between what a governmental entity and what a private entity is doing. And the fact that Michael and I have been able to work so closely, and our staffs and thinking about this and working with consultants and such is important. I'll use the hydraulics as an example. They're working with, once again, at looking at wells. We may be doing the same on the other side, but ours would be more the educational component of that, to really do a major exhibit talking about, you know, what the aquifers are and really a cutaway of what that looks like, where the primary wells are on the Marcuselli side, and we may have more of an educational well, so to speak, on our side. And then that all plays into, Michael was mentioning, you know, making this accessible. We're looking at that with how the White River Greenway connects to this new public trail, and with the boardwalks that we're doing to make it accessible to the river. And what we plan with our food, farm, and energy experiences, which is going to be the Conner Prairie part of what we're doing, is making sure that that can be accessible as well. On our East Campus, on our current campus on this side, we opened in March of 2020 AgVenture Playground, which is a fully accessible playground for children and adults of all abilities to be able to play side by side. And that kind of mimics what I think thematically and what we have, both Carmel Clay Parks and Conner Prairie, what our hearts are for how we approach our guests and wanting to be inclusive organizations, include all communities as we bring them to bear. So as we think about what we've done with agriculture on this side, it'll naturally flow to the other side. As we think about the trails that in the river education hubs that we're building in our Oxbow on the east side, that's all going to be mimicked on how we do that on the west side, and eventually connectivity between the two sides with at least one bridge, possibly two, in years to come. So it's just a really exciting dynamic of how this public-private partnership, how the citizens are going to be able to use the river and the lands around the river and the amenities that we can bring to bear, whether it's recreation. For instance, the White River Ecology Center will also have put in takeout areas for canoeing and rafting and fishing. And obviously, Michael and his parks are going to be doing the same. So you think about the string of pearls. I mean, our citizens are going to be able to do so many things. There's going to be restaurants. We're planning a food to fork type restaurant and maybe some other related things that can be on the west side of the property. Once again, there will all be amenities that can be enjoyed by the citizens nearby and those that are actually accessing this trail and river system. You mentioned people coming up from Indy, and I'd like to think at some point people will be coming up, people will be going down, and it'll be part of that transportation system again. And we're really talking about the multi-modal type of, whether it's walking or biking or canoeing or kayaking or whatever the case might be, that you have options. You don't have to put yourself in a car and get on a road system. So it's a pretty, like I say, it's a exciting time for both of our organizations to be working on this.
I really like that both of you are using that. And I think, Michael, you kind of coined it, but that string of pearls idea. One of the things, when I look south, I think of in Central Indiana Land Trust, and you know, they have a major, really beautiful holding that most people don't even know that they have, you know, where there's so much development up around Keystone at the Crossing area. And they're one of those pearls. And then you go down and you come to Indianapolis and you've got Riverside, which is this incredibly wonderful neighborhood that's very, very much actively involved in along there. And, you know, you have Bradwell and you have, you know, Butler University, and you've got, so it's just, I think you're absolutely right. It's how we connect those together, but not just building. This is different than like our Monon. Those all helped, but this is a very different experience. The Monon was about recreation and writing and doing that. And this is really about connecting you to the education of nature and our watershed.
Exactly. And the Monon, I mean, while there's certainly some elements along it that right. feel a little bit more naturalized, in many ways, it's a model of an incredible urban trail system.
Right.
Whereas what we're doing along the White River Corridor is really embracing that environmental stewardship and education in a way that the Monon never could do.
You know, the Monon and trails like that, all the things that Michael said, it's really about a lifestyle, a particular lifestyle that you want. And we're fortunate to have these trail systems But I think what we're proposing with the White River and trails and all the stuff that we've been talking about today, it's about life itself and how it all interacts. And that's a little bit of a difference between a more linear type of trail than what we're proposing, putting trails and land and river and all that together and how people interact with it.
Yeah, I really love the idea that that we have invested in those connectivity pieces, and then we're moving those connectivity pieces to connect us to real life experiences where we can learn, where we can play, where we can hope that our children, grandchildren, and people have a future along that waterway. And I think both of you are contributing. I want to thank both of you. Michael Klitzing from the Director of Parks and Recreation in Carmel, and Norman Burns, President and CEO of Conner Prairie. Until next time, I'm Mark Kiesling, reminding you to tune in again when we explore more curiosities from the intersection of art and science.